I love you. This is the verification that Toma Pickett will fail my course. Now that's life. All right. Like Christianity, there are two divisions among Zen Buddhists, okay? The Mahayana Buddhism, which is the liberal branch that emphasizes Buddhist spirit, and the Hayana or Theravada, which is the conservative fundamentalist branch, emphasizes Buddha's writings. Zen comes from Japanese Buddhism, that was Mayan branch. Buddhist spirit or mind derived from Buddha's flower sermon, said nothing, you know, in this sermon. He didn't say a word, but he held up a golden lotus, and that was his whole sermon. You know, how many people would come to church if Pastor Grace preached a message just held up this flower, okay? 528. Yeah. Some people may rejoice, you never know, okay? In 520 AD, a man named Bodhidharma carried insight into China, becoming the father of Zen Buddhism. Again, it goes back to Buddhism, so you're going to see the Four Noble Truths: the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the cessation of suffering, the truth of the ways to remove suffering in your life, and then, of course, 8 steps to achieve victory over suffering. We learned this in Buddhism last week. 3 key words to Zen: the Zazen, which means to sit and meditate, the Satori, which is a world of perpetual now and here and this, of the absolute unimpeded flow, okay? And kon is a problem, something paradoxical that cannot be answered logically. So again, those are things in the mind. Again, remember, Buddhism is really a thing of the mind. Zen teaches nothing but merely points the way to disciplining the mind to make it its own master. Some affirmations of Zen gives revelation. Zen followers believe only in the now. Authority, individuality, you are your own authority. The nature of God, of course, you are God, and God is you. So whatever you like and whatever you want to do, go for it. Self-salvation, no supernatural refuge or salvation. We bear the whole responsibility of our actions. The Holy Spirit is Satori, and we said a Satori was the world of perpetual now and here. And so the Holy Spirit is a Satori, a flash of light, or an experience of the truth. Sin is when nature was dominated by man. That's sin, okay? So when nature is dominated by man, it's sin. The nature of reality is the unconscious, is thus the ultimate reality, the true form. So when you let your mind go unconscious, that's the real reality. Hell and heaven is in your mind, okay? Jesus Christ, there's no need for a personal Savior because we are God and He is us. So the means of support in the Far East, they beg. It's the way to get support. But in America, Zen followers hold the tradition of getting hands out as their support, okay? And taking offerings, et cetera, okay? Yes?
Just a quick observation. The zone number 3 under the 3 keywords to Zen, it's a problem and it can't be answered logically, so it's technically explaining itself by Zen Buddhism. It can't be explained
right
or answered logically.
Right, that's true. That's awesome. That's good. Good point, Elizabeth. Awesome. Okay, any questions about Zen Buddhism? Anybody ever know anybody who's been involved with it? Go ahead, Matt.
I just had a question. Under background, number 3, the true name Siddhartha Gautama. But looking at our packet from last week, the first one under A, it says Siddhartha Gautama was Buddha.
Okay.
He was born, but it says that he was Hindu.
Okay.
But isn't number 3 on today's sheet saying that this is an offshoot of Buddhism?
Yeah, it is an offshoot of Buddhism. And again, it's the same man, and he was influenced by Hindu.
So first, he grew up Hindu.
Right.
Okay.
That's why it says in number 2, he's the son of Kaya, an Indian chief in northern India.
Okay.
So he is from India, yes. He was Hindu trained and then started Buddhism, and then, of course, Zen Buddhism is a branch of that. Yep. Yes?
And he was from a wealthy family, and he never had gone outside of his home and seen the suffering, and when he did, that's when he really he started reflecting on it in his home.
So when he got outside of his home and started suffering the effects of being out in the world,
yeah.
That's when he... Good. Awesome. Good point. Anybody else? Anybody else know of anybody who's been involved in Zen Buddhism or know anything else you want to contribute to this? All right.
So there's a big Zen center in Rochester.
Is there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts is it?
Good question. It's in the city.
Okay. Okay.
It's a nice place.
Cool.
They take care of it. You know, very quiet because everybody.
Yeah. Better than the library. Cool. All right. Let's go to Roman numeral 4. On page 11, talking about the divine light. This is from your packet of Eastern Orthodox that we started that was part of the Buddhist Hindu. And we're going to continue there. Roman numeral 4, top of it is the divine light mission. The divine light mission. This is last week. There was an Eastern Orthodox sheet that I started. It gave you a bunch of, we had Hinduism and Buddhism and everything, and this is really a continuation, but I wanted to sneak in Zen Buddhism because it was very much related. I probably should include Zen Buddhism in this Eastern Orthodox stuff too. I just haven't merged all my material. It will be in the new notes though. Alright, Divine Light Mission. Anybody ever hear of it?
Yep.
Anybody know of anybody that's been in Rochester, New York? Okay. Again, a lot of this stuff is in California where all the weirdos hang out, you know. They get in the sun too long, you know, and it just fakes their brain. They're in Colorado too, man.
It's a high altitude.
Yeah, yeah, lack of air, you know. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Early history and founder, the leader of this group is Guru Maharaji Ji. He was born in Hardwar, India, and that should be India, not Indian, okay. India on December 10th, 1957. His followers are approximately 6 million, and that was as of 1982. I don't know where it's at today. I couldn't find any information on it. His followers say that he is what Jesus was 2,000 years ago. He says, I give you salvation if you surrender your life to me. So why is it a cult? He is it. He is a self-appointed leader. He's the self-appointed Messiah, so to speak, okay? The Divine Light Mission was founded by the Guru's father, Sri Maharaj Ji, in 1949, but he died in August of 66. At this time, Guru was going to school in a Roman Catholic mission. He took over the Divine Light Mission at age 9. When thousands were weeping, Guru Maharaj Ji stepped forward and said, Dear children of God, why are you weeping? Haven't you learned the lesson of your master taught you? The perfect master never dies. Maharaj Ji is here amongst you now. Recognize him, obey him, and adore him. So he's telling them when his father died, he really didn't die. Okay, he's around you. In 1969, he had thousands of converts. In November 70, he had a rally of 1.5 million people in New Delhi. In 72, they established the Divine Light Mission Centers in many of the world's leading cities. Their headquarters in the United States is in Denver, Colorado. Okay. His fathers described Guru as him, the Satguru, the true revealer of light, the remover of darkness, the perfect one, the treasure house of unlimited happiness, the giver of knowledge, the storehouse of unlimited peace, the ocean of kindness. And I put gag. Okay. I am the ocean of kindness. Yeah, swim in it. Yeah, exactly. His followers say he's destined to fulfill all prophecies to enlighten the world. In 74, he caused a stir by marrying a former American Airlines stewardess. With this marriage, division showed up. Some of the relatives accused him of haunting nightclubs and hanging around them, drinking, dancing, eating meat. All of these activities are forbidden by his followers. Of course, again, being partial Hindu, you know, you're not supposed to eat meat. His mother has denounced him and claims his elder brother should be the leader. Their major impact is among young people 18 to 25, especially students. They generally live together in small communities called ashrams. The base of their beliefs is more on experience than a doctrine. They must have an experience. Their concept of God is described as cosmic energy. God exists in light, which is without cause, natural light, not artificial light. God is cosmic energy that we cannot comprehend with our small minds. However, the mind has the capacity of directly experiencing cosmic energy. If you work real hard, you can get in tune with God, who is the cosmic energy. If you take a couple aspirin, they'll take care of your energy too. Okay? When your mind is in tune with God, the universal mind, you have reached nirvana. Again, there's that Eastern religion, the mind, getting out of your body, getting totally into your mind, etc., etc. Their teaching on salvation is the ultimate purpose of a person is to break the reincarnation cycle to be part of the universal mind. One does this by receiving knowledge. Knowledge is a direct experience with God, the cosmic energy. This is achieved by a constant meditation that results in the merging of your mind with the divine mind. So it's like Spock on Star Trek. You have a mind meld, okay, with the main man. The guru is the dispenser of true knowledge without whom the human soul cannot achieve the ultimate reality. Put a check mark next to that one, would you? Again, that's why this is a cult. The guru is the dispenser of the true knowledge. So without him, you don't get true knowledge. He is the perfectly God-realized soul. His mind is in touch with the universal mind. He is the one of series of avatars. They feel Jesus was one too. He is able to relieve all suffering on this planet. He has promised to do so in his lifetime. Again, this I got to see. That's what I put in parentheses, my little comments here. Some quotes from his followers. The guru is inside of me, and he is inside of every one of us. Man, that's pretty bold statements. The guru has satisfied every need in me. I want to tell the people from the rooftops that Guru Maharaj Ji means in my life, at last my search for God is over. He walks among men. Their teaching on the scripture, the only real spiritual knowledge is given by the grace of the guru and his writings only. So no Bible, okay? Their methodology, they have two-tier membership. The preemies, which is the ordinary rank and file people. The mahatmas, whose purpose is to reveal knowledge to potential converts. They are the teacher of the preemies. The mahatma means high soul. There are only about 2,000 of them. Any convert must go through intense indoctrination called the revelation of knowledge. When taking knowledge, novices concentrate for several hours on the music of the vibes and chant over and over again that Guru Maharaj Ji is perfect and has been sent by God to reveal his presence. So again, they're constantly going over and over this whole thing, chanting it. Okay. Suddenly the novice is jabbed sharply in the eyes by the Mahatma and sees, so it is said, the divine light of God himself. Of course, have you ever been hit in the eye? You see a white light, very big, okay? This is the conversion experience. I saw the light, I saw the light. Okay. Yeah, right. And put me right out the door, man. Okay. This is followed by meditation involving the constant repetition of the divine name over and over again. Divine light services are held every day where each preemie in turn is expected to repeat in every conceivable way that the world is a dark place, desperate, needing the light which only the guru can provide. Underline that phrase, which only the guru can provide. Some divine light devotees live in spiritual communities described by their publications as places across the world where disciples of the Lord are living and where spiritual discourses can be heard. They practice celibacy. What's that mean? No sex before marriage. They are required to abstain from alcohol, meat, and tobacco. This group likes to use the word divine as a label for everything they do. Divine going to the bathroom, divine. Okay. They spread their teachings through public meetings, show films, sing songs, play records, tape, CDs. The name of their publication is The Divine Times. They even do a little personal soul winning. Their opinion of scripture is that all scriptures glorify the divine knowledge, thus their devotees will accept all scripture. Mission members maintain that what all religions have been seeking after and what all other devotees have written about in scripture has now found a temporary fulfillment in Guru Maharaj Ji. Romans 1:18-24. Somebody read that for me, would you please? Romans 1:18. This is a great scripture passage. Someone got it?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Okay, 3:24.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
So the vain imaginations caused them to lead to worship man himself, okay? And that's where we would put this cult, okay? The gods they serve are all man-centered. Any questions about divine light or comments? Or
I'm going.
You're going? When you go out there, yeah. It's the first place you're going to visit. Huh? Pray for Jeremy that he doesn't leave.
Pastor Mike,
yes.
Do you remember several years back when those people laid on a bed and committed suicide?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Would they have been?
No, they weren't them. That was a totally different thing. Okay, and we're going to talk about them too.
Okay.
But that was a totally different.
They were like...
They were looking for Hale-Bopp.
Something yep. Mm-hmm. Light. And
yeah, the comet.
Yeah.
They were looking for Hale-Bopp, the comet, yep.
Okay.
And that was totally different. But again, it's part of that mind kind of thing. Yep, we'll talk about that. Anyone else? Questions, comments? Sounds like you really want to go out and join them, huh? Okay. All right. Transcendental Meditation, TM, okay? Not TMJ, TM, okay? What's TMJ?
It's temporomandibular joint dysfunction.
Oh, okay. You could start. You could have started your calls on that, man. The early history and founder of TM was founded by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Okay, and it's not Yogi Bear either. Okay. His name means the great sage of the family of Mahas who practice yoga. That's how you define that. He was born in 1918 as Mahesh Prasad Varma. And in 1942, he graduated from a university with a degree in physics, which landed him a job in a factory for about 5 years. During this time, he taught himself Sanskrit, which was an ancient Hindu language. And after World War II, he went to the Himalayan foothills to meditate for 13 years. There he met his teacher, Brahmada Saraswati. The teacher taught him what was later called Transcendental Meditation, TM. In TM, Brahmada Saraswati is referred to as the Guru Dev, the Divine Teacher. As part of the TM, Guru Dev is loved and worshipped. In 59, Maharishi emerged with TM to revolutionize the world and end war. He had little response in India, so he moved to London, where he founded the International Meditation Society. He labored there for 8 years without success. In 67, he met George Harrison of the Beatles, who got the rest of the Beatles involved in doing so. Other British rock groups, including the Rolling Stones, also followed the Maharishi for a while. That's why you see the Abbey Road album years ago when they had that come out by the Beatles. They had one of the guys dressed in a white robe and everything. It was because of this, okay, being involved in TM.
In today's paper what's his name? Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney put on a benefit concert to raise awareness for money for teaching underprivileged kids the benefits of meditation.
Wow. So it's still alive and kicking.
Yep.
Okay. Because of this, the Maharaja got following for a while and made some outrageous claims. If 1/10 of the world would use TM, it would end war for centuries. If hospitals used TM as a therapy, there would be no more sickness. In other words, sickness is all in your mind. Hello, Mary Baker Eddy. Okay. after this, he went, isn't it funny how all this thing kind of just orbits and comes back around, what goes around comes around? After this, he went on a world tour, which was disastrous. He turned to India thinking he was a he returned to India thinking he was a failure. In 70, he reorganized in a business-like way. His approach was changed from religious to business-like. He moved his headquarters in 70 to Italy and then to Spain. At this time, he started TM, Teacher Training Centers. As of 1981, there were 1 million in the United States who actively practiced TM and 300,000 in Great Britain. In Britain, they were growing back then at the rate of 600 members a month. Techniques used to spread the gospel of TM. They claim that it's not a religion. It's a form of relaxation and will help your health by relieving stress. Circle that, highlight that, put a star next to that so you see that. That's how they sell it to you. Okay? But it's more than that. Most is advertising is done by word of mouth. Many young businessmen become involved because of their place of business sends them as a part of their relieving their stress. They hold public... maybe I'll send Pastor Grace. It'll help him a little bit, okay? Until we sell this building. Okay. They hold public lectures where they get people who are already involved to bring their friends. They ask each new person to attend at least two lectures. At the end, they issue an invitation to people to come and learn TM. Their initial ceremony is called the Paja ceremony. They're to bring the following to this ceremony. Three pieces of fruit. This represents the seed of life in Hinduism. The Maharashi claimed that these things do not represent anything. It's just tradition. Six fresh flowers. This represents life in general. One clean white handkerchief. Make sure it's clean. This represents cleansing. And most important of all, the fee. Ching, ching. Star that, circle that, highlight it, because again, it's part of why this is a call. This probably represents the greed of the Maharashi. The room they perform the ceremony in has a table with a picture of Guru Dev, is lighted with candles, and has incense burning. If the applicant has all the requirements, they take them through the ceremony. The reasons given for the ceremony are to impress the pupil about the tradition, a very important term, and to remind the teacher who administrates the ceremony of his beginning and how he started out in the group. The whole ritual is done in Sanskrit, like a Catholic mass in Latin, where no one understands it, but it sounds impressive. Okay. During the ceremony, they give adoration to the great teacher and other Hindu gods. There are 16 different rituals that they use. The particular ritual used for each pupil becomes a ritual that the pupil will meditate with. The ritual is called a mantra. Okay, you've heard that phrase before, right? This is their mantra. Depends upon the individual teacher which one of the 16 is used. Once you go through the ritual, you're assigned a teacher who will teach you meditation. TM is learning to free your mind, to open it up, allowing whatever or whoever wants to come in to come in. Exactly. Satan's battleground is the mind. Remember that. Christian meditation is concentrating on something. Just think about the Bible, the scripture verses, Jesus, God, whatever. But in TM, one must achieve a certain level of consciousness. Everyone has these three levels: waking, sleeping, and dreaming. These three levels are, the first two levels are easily achieved, the other level is more difficult. So transcendental consciousness is the lowest form of meditation. It involves physical rest for the body while the mind is still active. It's achieved by chanting the mantra. Cosmic consciousness, the idea is to achieve rest and total relief of mental and physical stress. God consciousness is getting to be one with God. Unity consciousness, getting together with the universal mind, which is tied to Hinduism. And Brahman consciousness, the highest form of reincarnation in Hinduism. You must first be reincarnated in the Brahman class in order to be able to achieve this level. So again, it's a mixture of all those Eastern religions, Hinduism, some a little bit of Buddhism. Bring it all together and call it your new TM, okay? Their ultimate purpose, salvation, is to obtain absorption into the divine, whatever that means. They use big terms and confusing concepts to persuade young people that they know what they're talking about and they have all the answers. I remember years ago watching a television show where they were interviewing people that were involved in this, and the bottom line is they would go up and these people would be in their sitting yoga type position, meditating with their hands out, and they would go up and slap, you know, their hands together right in front of the guy's face or whatever, and the person didn't move because they were in a transcendental meditative state. Okay, they were being one with their conscience and one with their creator, quote unquote. So it's really scary. People are told to lose themselves within their mind in this state.
Like that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's after a sherry knocked you in the head, right? I had that happen when Luis hit me once. I saw birds coming out of the conscious state. Andy?
I'm confused on the reincarnation bit on a couple of these different religions, but with who determines that you've been reincarnated?
They do. The person, the individual themselves, right.
So I could say I'm reincarnated,
right.
That you can achieve that level.
That I achieved that level, yes, exactly. How do you take a test? Do you have a reincarnation level tester? Well, let's see, you know, plug this in, touch this, and see what level you're at, you know. Have you reached the highest form, or are you still in the fly stage, okay? I guess it depends if you go around buzzing, I don't know, okay? But you're right. You do yourself, so to speak. You know?
Do you have to shave your head or anything for like
a lot of these people do that. Okay. Yep. Go ahead, Rich.
You know what the Beatles preached in their karmatic Calvinism?
No. Never heard.
You know, they got so peaceful they broke up and sued each other over money.
It caused more stress again. That causes them to be reincarnated back to the bottom again. Yep. Flies in the ointment again. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Anyone else? Any other thoughts?
What would be the lowest?
The lowest form? You know,
reincarnated.
If the lowest form of reincarnation, you're some bug or something like that in the earth. You know, you're a peasant. You're a peasant or part low life like that, a servant, or that's really the lowest form. That's why they don't acknowledge, you know, what's going on. Like Miss Burt was telling us the other day, you know, that they just don't even recognize these people. They're nothing.
It may be a reason why they get into it, because most of them kids are just off the street,
right,
looking for something, and some yo-yo comes with a, you know,
hope
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're in India, how you were born, that's how you are. And
right.
How do they determine whether someone's born into a certain group or something?
It goes back thousands of years. The families go down for generations.
Do they have certain marks on their skin or something that differentiates them?
No, their names actually. They have Christopher Boda. You can't tell who's what just by looking at them. He was talking to a man in the airport before, and he asked him what his name was, and as soon as he told him his name, he became very quiet and quickly exited the conversation and left.
Wow. Because Christopher Boda was not a very high up person, huh? Wow. Sad, it really is. It's a sad thing to catch people in the. Okay? Well, now, this was a group that I was very familiar with because I was in Chicago for a whole year in ministry, and they used to set up all the time in Chicago Airport. And sometimes when I needed a little bit of a vision, I'd go down and just sit and watch people come and go in O'Hare Airport, man. And it's like these people had these little circles that they couldn't get out of. They put them in these little taped areas because they were going up and pinning flowers on everybody. And this is the Hare Krishnas, okay? And I used to call them Hare Krishnas because they'd have one, their head would be bald, but they had one lock of hair that went down to their waist. So I didn't call them Hare Krishna, I call them Hare Krishnas, okay? And I haven't seen too many of them around. Whether they're still around or not, I am not sure, but let's talk about them in case they are. Anybody seen Hare Krishnas around at all?
Not lately.
John?
Lately, just in New York City.
Are they in New York City?
Tambourines
and bells. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The nickname given this group is Hare Krishna. They're not big in the United States. As of 1981, there were only about 10,000 followers. They are very militant and evangelistic. They are totally devoted to Krishna. There is a big difference between this group and other Eastern religions. Krishna is their supreme God and the only one to be worshipped. The founder of this group is A.C. Bhaktiv Swami Parapada, who was born in Calcutta in 1896. He attended the University of Calcutta and studied philosophy, English, and economics. In 1922, he met Guru Siddharth Goswami. He studied directly under the Guru for 11 years. And in 1950, A.C. Bhaktiv Swami Prabhupada completely dropped out of all society, forsook his wife and his five children, and devoted himself to his religion. In 1965, he was commissioned by his teacher to spread the knowledge of Krishna. He packed up and went to none of the places where you see everything there in New York City. Penniless and in the Krishna garb, he started out street preaching to teenagers and college students. In July of 1966, he founded the group in the United States. In 1968, he founded his first farming commune in West Virginia. In 1972, he started a book company called Bhaktivedita Book Trust, which prints their materials. He died in his 80s. They believe that Krishna is the supreme God. Krishna was a physical manifestation of the god Vishnu. He was like Jesus in the Hindu form. They believe in an external soul and hold to a scripture called Bhagavad Gita. Okay, I had one of those once. It may still be in my file, but I think it's been absconded. Okay, their goal is to achieve a personal relationship with Krishna through love. They believe that materialism is the fruit of ignorance. They consider family attachments as a skin disease. So you don't stay close to family, hence he left his wife and his five children. Okay, you don't stay attached. Okay. They believe in reincarnation, of course. Their heaven is called Krishnaloka, which is achieved through a Hindu philosophy. One obtains salvation by achieving Krishna consciousness, a oneness with Krishna. There are four prohibitions used to obtain Krishna consciousness. No amusements, which means no gambling, no sports, or anything that would take your mind away from Krishna. No drug, alcohol, tobacco, tea, or coffee. Some of you guys could never join that, okay? No illicit sex, none outside of marriage, and marital relationships are restricted as follows. Sex is limited to once a month for the purpose of having a child, and one must have the permission of their superior. Yeah, that'll be the day. They have a ritual to prepare for sex. Then D, vegetarianism. They do not eat animal flesh. They're vegetarians. They're vegans. Okay. Every male must shave his head because they believe the long hair is sexually stimulating, so therefore you must have a bald head. They must wear simple but distinctive clothing. Some of the ones that I saw were red with white sashes, and then the opposite, white with red sashes. Some of that I encountered in the airports and stuff. They're allowed a maximum of 6 hours of sleep per night only. Okay. Part of their life is a devotional life, which includes the Krishna chant, in which they chant the name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hara Hara Hara, Rama, Hara Rama, Rama Rama, Hara Hara. Anybody recognize that? The Beatles used to do that. They used to chant that. Yep, it's one of their songs. Okay? And they used to use that. Okay? Quoted from the Challenge of the Cults, 24 hours daily they glorify the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna. They take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. The significance of the Krishna change is that it cleanses one's heart from material dirt. For doing this chant, they have a necklace made out of 108 beads. Each bead represents one of the cowherders, lovers of Krishna. One chant per bead, similar to the Catholic rosary. From the Challenge of the Cults, if you faithfully engage in this duty, you develop in a trance-like state, a belief that at that time he is freed from the bondage of his body and the physical world, suspended in a state of pure spirit. There we go again, that mind stuff again. The more faithfully he engages in his devotions, the longer his liberation lasts. His ultimate aim is to complete deliverance from karma and its resulting endless chains of incarnations.
in a perfect union with Krishna and his movement, the equivalent of heaven. They attain perfection by repeating the chant over and over and over. They used to do that in airports. Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. And they would chant it. Some would sing it. Method of indoctrination. In order to become a member, a novice must prove himself by demonstrating his devotion to Krishna for the probationary period of 6 months. At that time, he will live in a Hare Krishna commune called the temple. He will be subject to the temple president, who will be responsible for mapping out every minute of his day. Talk about indoctrination. Okay? There is no place for independence of thought or action within this sect. Loving Krishna involves obeying those who the God has set over one. This means total obedience to your superiors. The induction ceremony calls for 7 kinds of grains to be thrown into a fire located in the middle of the room. On top of this, butter is poured, hence you get popcorn. No, I'm not kidding. The new Krishna is given a new name in Sanskrit and receives his holy beads, which he is expected to wear the rest of his life. If the new Krishna makes it through the first 6 months, he goes through another initiation called Brahminical initiation. It is at this point that the men are given a sacred thread to be worn over the left shoulder and a secret mantra. They are to use the mantra 3 times daily in conjunction with the regular chant. This makes one full-fledged ordinary member. If one wants to excel, he can become a sannyasi. This person must first renounce the world and take a vow of poverty and celibacy. He also commits himself to the life of preaching and good works. He is so highly regarded in the movement that others are expected to prostrate themselves before him and fall on their face. Lifestyle, everything revolves around the temple under the strict supervision of the temple president. There's a complete segregation of the sexes in every aspect of the day. Men are regarded as superior to women. Women are expected to submit obediently to all the men of the temple. A normal Krishna day goes as follows. After rising at 3 a.m., it eliminates me from this call. Okay? Devotees will take a cold shower and apply tilaka, a paste made of clay flown in from India, and is believed to sanctify and protect those who use it to parts of their body. As the devotee applies the paste to his forehead, belly, chest, throat, between his collarbones, both arms, both sides of his waist, his upper and lower back, and the top of his head, he says the 13 names of Krishna. After this, the devotee, that's maybe worse than me singing in the shower. Okay. After this, the devotees will engage in corporate or personal acts of devotion for 2 to 3 hours. Till following breakfast and temple chores, he leaves the commune to engage in street work. Street work, the method of the movement's outreach, comprises activities like street chanting, group dancing, begging, and the sale of literature. The devotee returns to the temple in the middle of the day for lunch. And when I was there, they used to give out little poppy flowers, those little, like the veterans give out. They used to give those out and try to put one on you as you walk by. That's why they put them in these little circles that they couldn't get out of, because they're harassing all the passengers coming off the planes. Okay? Now they wouldn't be allowed anywhere near the ramps at all. Mm-hmm. Okay? The devotee returns to the temple in the middle of the day for lunch. After lunch, he'll go out for another 4 to 5 hours in the streets. When he gets back to the commune in the early evening, he will settle down to sleep at around 10, aware that he will rise again at 3, the next day to begin the same routine all over again. On the average, he will spend 6 hours chanting in his private and corporate devotions. The Krishna chant will be chanted at least 1,728 times per day.
Wow. I must have a guy challenge.
Can you imagine that, man?
Can't even
imagine. They also spend at least 6 hours on the street. According to the group, Krishna reigns supreme among the gods, and all reality is spiritual reality. The material world is not important. The emphasis of the Eastern religions is mental. You must discipline your body, beat the body into submission, then try to kill the sin's nature's desires through your good works. I have a couple other things that I downloaded today. I'm going to look real quick about Hare Krishna in this. You may give me some more up to date.
I have a real quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
So, under 10 and letter D, it says they're vegetarians.
Yes.
They don't eat animal flesh. So, are they modern day cannibals then?
I don't know. Go talk to them and find out. Don't be dessert, okay? Today it says they claim a membership of 2 million. Put this in your notes. They claim a membership of 2 million. And the center man's name is Roger Ikor. Roger Ikor of Paris puts in at least 15,000 devotees worldwide. Okay, so there's a difference in the opinion as to how many there are. The headquarters is at 3764 Watsika Avenue, Los Angeles, California. Okay? Let's see. That's it for that.
That's gotta be why that state's just so messed up.
California. You can imagine all the demons are flying around that state. Yep, go ahead, John. Yes. Let's see. You just never know who you might run into. Let's see, where is it? Krishna. Where did I find that? Okay, here it is. Roger Ikor, I-K-O-R, of Paris. And the headquarters are at 3764 Watsika Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90034. All right, questions about Hare Krishna? Anybody run into them lately or run into anybody that...
I only seen them one time. It was in the Denver airport.
Yep.
I was catching a flight. Hey. I only seen them one time. And they bugged the heck out of me.
Yeah, they were like... I seen them in the Denver airport too. There were bells around their ankles.
Yeah.
It says in this article, in 1977, at the death of their leader, the rich Krishna empire divided into 11 independent jurisdictions with 11 different gurus. In the U.S., Kirtananda had a dream to create America's Taj Mahal, so he built a huge palace of gold in West Virginia with 200 tons of marble, with the dome roof and outside walls coated with 22-karat gold leaf, all of it with the money devotees gave and made by with the traffic of drugs, charity schemes, asking money for the poor, orphans, and widows. Chakandra was murdered because he opened a nursery and the money was not going to the guru himself. And later, Kirk Sanda, who was the leader himself, is attacked by a disgruntled follower who sank a spike into the guru's skull. Kirk Sanda survived, but walks with sticks since and keeps two Alsatian dogs with him at all times, day and night. In England, the guru Jarathitha was murdered by his disciple Tirunan because he was using LSD to obtain the ecstatic dances, and because he had a harem at home, Tirunan right now is in a mental hospital for doing so. Okay, in Australia, the guru in charge was expelled for practicing homosexuality, but continues acts as a guru and runs his empire in mafia style. In Japan, the guru Kripa, an American ex-marine sergeant, developed more money-making scams than anyone else. He taught his followers to pickpocket, rob jewelry stores. He was eventually jailed in Holland, but since 1981, he can be seen chanting in ISKCON temples in America.
Mafian Krishna?
Mafian style, running it like the mafia. So again, they really have gone out of their mind. All right, let's pray and take a break, and we'll come back in about five after, and we'll finish the rest of this tonight, okay? Father, thank you today for Jesus, the opportunity we had to be together. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have a book that we can trust and we can go to as an authority. We don't have to worry about going out of our mind. Some of us went out of our mind before we trusted Christ our Savior. And Lord, praise the Lord, we've gotten in our right mind. And just bless this break we have, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at Baha'i. Hello in Baha'i. This is another cult that has a lot of following in California. Baha'i, its history is the founder was Mirza Muhammad Ali. He was Persian. He wasn't the Muhammad Ali that many of you know as the boxer, though, okay? He declared he was the B.A.B., the Bab, okay? Instead of being the baby, he's the Bab, okay? And which is the gate of God. On May 23rd, 1844, he prophesied the oneness of mankind, claimed to be a kind of John the Baptist, prophesying of a great one to come. He was executed in July 8, 1850 because of the large number of followers. The Persian government felt threatened and they had him executed. Okay? Be careful. It could happen in the United States too, to you and I. Okay? The true one prophesied by the Mirza was Mirza Hussain Ali, known as Baha'u'llah. He declared himself to be the promised one in 1863. His brother Mirza Yahya. Okay, can you imagine? My mother ever named me that. I'm Yahya, okay? Started a religious war against his brother to oust him from power. The Turkish government in disgust sent Baha'u'llah to the penal colony of Ars and exiled his brother to Cyprus, okay? So they kicked him in the Ars. Oh, to the Ars, not in the Ars. Okay. This is going downhill fast, okay? After Baha'u'llah's death, the Immortal One, that's what his name meant, the Immortal One, his son Abbas Effendi assumed control of the Baha'i movement. He changed his name to Abdul Baha, it means the servant of Baha. He spread the religion worldwide. Abdul's main job was to interpret his father's 200 books and tablets and share the blueprint for world peace and unity. Star that, please, if you will. Again, books and tablets. In 1912, Abdul Baha and his Baha'i entourage arrived in the U.S. for an eight-month tour, traveled from coast to coast, spreading the Baha'i faith, laid the foundation for the nine-sided temple in Wilmette, Illinois, which wasn't completed until 1953. Each of the nine signs contains a portal through which adherents of the nine major world religions may enter into Baha'i Brotherhood of Man. Today, the Baha'i's worldwide movement is ruled by nine men called the Haifa, Hands of the Cause, and a representative body called the Universal House of Justice. Teachings, the key word to Baha'i is justice for all. Started as a reform movement within Islam. That's a key thing. That's why I have it highlighted. Still reflects leanings toward Islam, particularly two ancient Muslim sects known as the Twelvers and the Seveners. That's original. Okay. Some of you, didn't you pick that for your cult name? No. Okay. Okay. And yet more and more it's becoming a faith of its own. Baha'is feels their faith is here to bring unity to mankind, to demonstrate the unity of all the divine prophets and religions. Adherents to Baha'i must subscribe to no gambling, no narcotics, no drinking, no political involvement, no memberships in any lodges. The Baha'i calendar is based on 19 months of 19 days each. One of these months is a 19-day fast, which concluded on March 20th, and observe a 19-day feast held on the first day of each of the 19 Baha'i months. There are also nine holy days in each year, and their children are expected to keep them. Baha'is are obligated to draw up a written will and testament in which they stress the importance of providing for the faith in your will. Highlight that, please. Star that. Supreme obligation of Baha'i is to recognize Baha'u'llah as the great manifestation of God. Man's creation is that he may know God and adore him, and this is done by coming to love the manifestation of God, which is Baha'u'llah himself. Okay, so again, he's Jesus. So star that. Salvation is through the acceptance of the manifestation of God, Baha'u'llah, making effort through prayer and personal sacrifice. Claim teachings of the Baha'u'llah similar to those Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. To join Baha'i, you are required to withdraw membership at any church or religious organization. I thought they were there to bring unity, okay, of everybody, but now you got to quit everybody. Evil. No such thing as evil. Error is the lack of guidance. Darkness is the absence of light. That's interesting. Falsehood is the lack of truthfulness. So all you need to do is develop man's goodness and evil will disappear. Thus man does not need salvation. He only needs enlightenment. Isn't that working today, class? Especially this last week where so many people were killed. Okay? They're developing man's goodness. Okay? Guess what? Man isn't good. They're desperately evil and wicked. Okay? They don't need salvation according to this. He only needs enlightenment. Future, the century is the establishment of the kingdom of God. All people will become believers, especially if you're part of the Baha'i. They claim universal peace will be established. A universal language will be established. Misunderstandings will pass away. The Baha'i cause will be promulgated in all parts and the oneness of mankind will be established. Jesus was not part of the Trinity, so star that. None of the nine manifestations, but one of the nine manifestations of the divine being. Trinity, no. Bodily resurrection of Christ, no. Bible, no. Instead, they use the writing of Baha'u'llah since they are the last manifestation. Hell, believe in God's judgment, but no literal place of flames and torments. Heaven will be the abode of righteous people. Holy Spirit is Baha'u'llah. And again, some of these facts, I'm not going to read this whole thing, just a little bit of more history of how things came to be. Some of the doctrine on the next page is important. Okay, the cult is a unifying cult. They want to get everybody together under them. Quoted from Cass of the Cults, it has accepted all the religions of the world, found they are fundamentally and essentially alike, and reveres equally as divine all nine of the prophets. One of these nine prophets is Baha'u'llah. It doesn't even claim any greater divinity for its own prophet. It merely claims it's the greater beauty of the blessed perfection brought the last message. This is, they believe, their message is the modern message addressing matters that neither Christ nor Muhammad ever discussed. Jesus did not speak of international problems. His people did not know of the existence of Japan. They say that when Jesus said to watch and pray for his second coming, he meant was for us to receive Baha'u'llah when he came. Their principles that they strive for is the oneness of God, the oneness of religion, the oneness of mankind, independent search after truth, the abandonment of all prejudices, international peace, international universal language, education for all, equality of the sexes, abolition of industrial slavery, get rid of capitalism, replace it with communism, personal holiness. What's the problem with all those? What's that sound like he's trying to do? Bring in the what? Bring in the kingdom, okay? Yep. How do they expect to achieve these things? Baha'i's claim is that unity and brotherhood are the only important thing in that doctrine. Love is a reoccurring word in their literature. In 1912 in New York City, Abdul was approached by two Baha'is who were arguing a point of Baha'i teaching. When asked to decide who was right, Abdul's answer was, neither is right. To be a Baha'i, there must never be any discord. All must agree. However, they do teach that no salvation is possible for someone that forsakes their group. Highlight that, underline that. Their doctrines are God. They teach that Baha'u'llah is God. Sin, there are no sinners. Evil is imperfection. Sin is the state of man in the world of a baser nature. In nature exist defects such as injustice, intolerance, tyranny, hatred, hostility, and strife. These are the characteristics of the lower plane of nature. These are the sins of the world, the fruits of the tree from which Adam did eat. Through education, we must free ourselves from these imperfections. Isn't it interesting that in a world where we have a lot of education, that we've educated ourselves out of these beliefs? Okay. That is, we will get rid of sin and evil by educating people. Man is not evil, but man adopts evil practices through ignorance. They forgot one thing about that education. When they kick God out of education, then man becomes their own God, and in their baser sort does whatever they want to do. Okay? Christ was the prophet of the Christians, as was Moses with the Jews. Jesus taught only for his own dispensation. All teaching of the past are past. Abdullah Baha is now supplying all the world. The teachings of Moses, Christ, Buddha, and Muhammad are all past teaching. Their new teachings, Baha'i's new teachings, are better. The resurrection of the cause of Christ is like a lifeless body when after 3 days the disciples were assured and steadfast and began to serve the cause of Christ. and resolved to spread the divine teachings, putting its counsels into practice and arising to serve Him. The reality of Christ became resplendent and His bounty appeared. His religion found life. His teaching and admonitions became evident and visible. In other words, the cause of Christ was like a lifeless body until the life and the bounty of the Holy Spirit surrounded it. That is, Christ didn't rise from the dead. The resurrection was the giving of life to Christianity. In other words, they made it up. Reason is superior to doctrine. We must not accept traditional dogmas that are contrary to reason or tend to believe doctrines that we cannot understand. Reason is their final authority. The sufferings of Christ, why should all this suffering have been and not to prove the everlasting life in the Spirit? Christ suffered, He accepted all His trials because of the immortality of His Spirit, the immortal passing on the Spirit of Muhammad. In summary, they accept all Saviors. Each one is better than his predecessor. In this group, the Hindu philosophy, circle that, has been placed in Islam belief and then molded to fit all religions. They are trying to unite the world. They built a huge temple outside of Chicago to encourage Americans into the movement, but it was unsuccessful. Their present headquarters is in Haifa, Israel. Someone said, let me see if I see this correctly, that their temple, I thought I read this. Yeah, their temple, the Baha'i World Center, is on Mount Carmel in Haifa, Israel. Okay? This is the seat of the Universal House of Justice, the International Teaching Center, the International Baha'i Archives and Library, and the Center for the Study of Their Sacred Text. Okay? Anybody ever run into anybody who was Baha'i? It's what you said to them. Bye. See you later. They do? Do they? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Sean.
You said the temple has nine entrances.
Yep.
They recognize nine prophets.
Yep.
Do they have one prophet for each corresponding religion?
Yes. Yep, I believe that's true, yes. Yep. Even though they didn't name them, but that's true. Okay. Anybody else? Let me see if it lists these nine. Here's a couple of them. Abraham, Krishna, Moses, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, the Bab, Baha'u'llah, Zoroaster. So those are the nine that they have. Toma?
The Muslims, they tend to persecute them because they feel like they're apostate.
Right.
They come out of them. I remember when we went over there a couple years ago, we went and saw that temple. And it was just enormous, beautiful, you know, so much to put into it. And they were definitely
persecuted
by the Muslims, you know, just as much as they would persecute Christians, you know.
And they are out of them, so to speak. They borrow things from them.
Right, so, just the same way there are offshoots out of Christianity that just go...
Offshoots out of Buddhism, offshoots out of...
Right.
Uh-huh. Cool. So it was out in Haifa that you saw that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, and it was...
Gorgeous.
It was just gorgeous. I mean, it was lit up. It was just... They put a lot into it.
So again, a lot more over there than here, you know, because again, they center around that. Chad?
I see no drinking or narcotics, gambling. I don't see no bombs.
Yeah, exactly. And again,
there's another option for that one.
Yeah. But maybe. You never know.
There will could be.
But their key thing is love, so it may not be a part of the...
Boom!
Yeah, exactly. They didn't say anything about the virgins in heaven if you kill somebody, though. Mm-hmm. You know, so. But they're trying to bring everybody together, one world government, so to speak, one world religion. Someone else thoughts about Baha'i? Now, my least favorite subject of all is the New Age movement, because this thing is the hardest thing to put your finger on. Like it's like Jell-O, you know. You put your finger on it, just blobs out all over the place. Okay, So there really isn't one particular thing. There's many, and we're not going to cover everything in this material. I just printed this all out for you so you can have it, okay? But there is, 19, 18 pages of material, and still didn't touch the hem of the garment in a lot of these things, okay? So, but before I get started, tell me, what do you know about the New Age movement? If I were to say to you, what is the New Age movement, what would you say, John?
Actually, it's exciting that this is even here, because I had just found out about it. I did a book report in Pastor Grace's class on the book Lead Like Jesus, and it's written by Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges. Ken Blanchard is one of the lead representatives of the Christian movement of these days, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because he is one of these people that are involved in the New Age movement. He promotes a lot of books on spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I know about the New Age movement is that Satan's behind it, and what it is it's like a sneaky way for all of the religions to join in one big melting pot, unifying and preparing themselves for his kingdom. For example, Rick Warren, he sits on the board for the Lead Like Jesus book. I mean, from doing the book report on this book, I found out so much.
Mm-hmm.
The book was good, but yet he puts contemplative prayer involved, and he misuses 1 Kings 19:6, and he says when Elijah's in the cave, he's tapping into the natural rhythms of nature, and that's exactly what this thing is doing. They're trying to put Hinduistic, Buddhist meditation, just ancient ritualistic, like mysticism, and they want you to sit and meditate but not think. And pretty much, you know, astral project, trans, whatever it's called, TM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. They're introducing him. And the inauguration prayer with Rick Warren, perfect example. And there's a lot of different ways. It's even in this church. You can find it. Like, I found it in Lead Like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's slipping its way into all modern Christianity. Mm-hmm. And the Bible, it talks about, you know, the Laodicean church. This is a dispensational church, the leaders of this church do that, and that consideration. This is an age of apostasy and great deception.
Mm-hmm.
The church has lost its flavor. So, saying all that, I'm getting lost because I'm just going all over it. But pretty much, that's what he wants. Rick Warren, the inauguration prayer. He prays, and when he prays, when he ends his prayer, he says, in the name of Yeshua, Issa, Jesus and Jesus. So, in front of the whole American public, he prays to Judaism, the God of Judaism, the God of Islam, and the God of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends it like that. And Isa is a prophet in Islam, not even mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just, that's exactly what they're doing. John Maxwell sits on the board of these guys. All these big authors on leadership, and pretty much their goal and agenda is to get all Christians to just follow and not, you know, be people of dissension when things don't agree, just continually follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I've really put some study into this.
Good point.
I've learned a lot into it.
Good point.
And I'm really glad that I did, because pretty much the words you'd want to keep your eye on is contemplative prayer, contemplative spirituality, and spiritual formation. And just different types of breathtaking prayers and stuff like that. When you see that stuff, that's pretty much what these guys are doing, and that's the New Age movement of how they're trying to, you know, insert sneakily all
cool.
Other things.
Good point. Someone else, what do you think of the New Age movement? What is it to you, or what have you experienced in learning about the New Age movement? What do you know about it? Go ahead, Rich.
Pushed on us over the hospital is a helpful meditative practice by the CEO that suddenly got transferred to Aldi. But he would come in and have everyone blank out your mind and try not to think of anything. And while you're trying not to think of anything, imagine yourself aboard a spaceship, and the spaceship's hovering around the room, and can you see the different people from different angles on your scene from the point of your spaceship.
You mean some more drugs, I can.
Yeah. That's an emergency room for the holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
And, shoot ourselves up. But soon after that, he was exported elsewhere.
Yeah.
He got a lateral promotion, actually. So, unfortunately, enough people had sense to complain. But they had that, and they brought in the longhouse drumming of Indian. So the New Age is sort of like any of the things that don't exclude any religion that does not exclude another religion.
Right.
So you can't have Jewishness, you can't have Christianity, you can't have Islam, because they exclude, they say something is right and something is wrong. If you don't say that, then you get to be New Age, and they embrace paradox, except on payday. Every Thursday, 1 + 1 does equal 2.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than about cash, you can say, well, this is right and that's wrong, but who's to say, well, I'll smoke and be happy, kind of thing.
Cool. Someone else? Go ahead, Chad.
I don't know. Would it be like under like new Catholicism or new Catholic, Catholic belief, where it's like you have lesbian and the whole that movement within itself being called, oh, it's not really what they were founded on, in that sense, but looking at it as a new universal religion of some mixture.
In some ways, but in some ways those are still quite distinct.
I mean, how do you really blend it? That's like this religion, but it's, or it's like rage.
You know, remember years ago there was a song called The Age of Aquarius?
Yeah.
Okay? That's really big in the New Age movement and things like that. So let's get into it and learn a little bit about the history and the founder of this and where it's going. By the way, if you ever get a chance to read a man by the name of Tex Mars, T-E-X-E-M-A-R-S, he has tremendous works on the cults, and he does a great job in many volumes dealing with this New Age movement. Okay, he's a good author and he's well quoted, and he has several books and documentations on this New Age cult. Okay, the New Age movement is not just a religion, but an organized plan of ushering in the New Age. It is a spiritual, political. It has a spiritual, political, and a military arm. Underline the word military. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:1 through 6 tells us that we're battling cults, okay? That we're not battling things that we can deal with in flesh and blood, okay? Cults are the battle for the mind, and they cast doubt on the Word of God. The cult is based on spiritism, okay? And you need to highlight that word so you understand it. The modern start was in 1875 when Madame Blavatsky founded the Theosophical Society. And I may come up with a sheet on that for you just to give you a little bit of the background of that religion, but it's all included in here. They feel that all the world religions have common truths, a strong belief in evolution, and spirit masters called the Great White Brotherhood. Blavatsky started the cult and has moved to India to further the cult, where she mixed spiritism with Hinduism. There you go again. It's all about the mind again. Okay? She dies, and then Annie Besant took up the leadership. Between 1926 and 29, Annie Besant declared that a new world teacher would come on the scene. The new world teachers was Krishnamurti, also called the Christ. He caused a stir in India and Europe, but was a flop in the United States and went into retirement. Alice Bailey replaced Besant, Annie Besant. She had an Episcopal background. There we go again. Okay. Some of the groups organized and started by Alice Bailey are the Arcane School, the New Group of World Servers, the Triangles, the World Goodwill. Alice Bailey claimed that the design of these groups and the plan formulated for bringing in a new world order. By the way, I listened to Jimmy DeYoung last night, and he said that G20 thing last week, and the talk about what they're going to do with finances and everything was the closest that he's heard in a long time about the new world order finally being settled and having the 10 nations. and also of the one world monetary system. So he said, hold your hats on, folks. Things are heating up really quick. Okay? I'm going to go online and try to listen to the whole thing. I only caught the tail end of it. Go ahead, Sean.
I don't even know if there's an answer to this question.
Go ahead.
You would know. And I heard Pastor Grayler talk about it. Do you know about when the layout of freedom age began?
I've never heard of a time frame, to be honest with you.
Could one guess the 1850s, mid-1950s?
I would say closer maybe to the end of 1890, and maybe just into the 1900s, possibly.
Could we get Schofield?
I don't know.
Because I'm noticing all these calls popping up.
1800s, right.
And in 1900,
right.
And a lot of them are amalgamations of each other.
Right.
And
it's a good point.
Warmness.
Good point. Yep, it's a very good point. Okay. Ruckman, I think, in his church history chart has put dates on them. Because of church history, trends in church history. So I may check that and let you know that. Okay? And again, I don't take him as the great guru, but at the same time, he has some pretty good insight into things. Okay? Alice Bailey claimed that the design of these groups and the plan J formulated for bringing a new world order were given to her by her spirit master named Dwal Kool. He is one of the great white brotherhood spirit masters. That's another thing you hear all the time about these. Spirit masters, spirit guides, okay? Big into this, okay? He also referred to it as the Tibetan. The Theosophical Society started a publishing company in 1932 called the Lucifer Publishing Company.
Oh.
In 1933, they changed the name to Lucius. And, of course, Lucifer, Lucius, means light bearer, okay? So it means of the light. Later they changed it again to Lucius Trust. The purpose of this publishing company was to publish the works of Alice Bailey. There was a group in the 14th century called Luciferians. They worshipped the devil and believed Lucifer to be the brother of God. Meister Eckhard von Hochheim, a Catholic priest, was the founder of the Luciferians. He was condemned by the Roman Catholic Church. The teaching of the New Age movement is built off of Gnosticism. Tell me what Gnosticism is. What's that? It's okay.
They believe that they're smarter than they are.
Okay, you're right. Sean?
It's pretty much relativity, right?
Right.
There is no real truth.
Right. The smarter you are, the more spiritual you are. Okay? Gnostics were people. Gnosis means to know, and so the knowledge is their god. They want to know more and more things to become more and more like a god. Okay, that's where Colossians dealt with a lot of Gnostics and Gnosticism. Yeah. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John deals a lot with Gnostics too. Okay, in 1901, a psychiatrist named Richard M. Buck published a book called Cosmic Consciousness, which is based on transformational evolution. In 33, the Humanist Manifesto was published. In 31, a Japanese mystic named Maisha Sama was given a revelation by a spirit being while meditating called God's Divine Plan for New Age. That's a key part. Oh, there. Highlight that or star it. This plan is a world purification process to be led by a New Age Messiah called Lord Maitreya. A newspaper article was published worldwide foretelling that this prophet would soon interrupt radio, television, and even communicate using telepathy to the entire world. This has not happened. Some of the favorite buzzwords of the New Age movement are spirit hierarchy, planetary consciousness. Okay? In the 50s, a Jesuit priest and philosopher named Talhund de Chardin promoted the idea of expanding on Darwin's theory of evolution with the evolution of consciousness, which would result in a superior race. The time frame for revealing the plan was given to Alice Bailey by Dwal Kool and another spirit master named John the Divine in 75. In 1962, a community was established in Scotland named Findhorn, which was like a New Age Vatican. The founders of the community are Peter and Eileen Caddy, Dorothy McLean, The role of Findhorn is to help anchor the plan on the earth. In 1970, David Spangler, another person the Tibetan spoke to, and joined Findhorn. In October 75, a convocation of spiritual leaders read a statement before the UN General Assembly promoting the New Age. In 75, Marilyn Ferguson started publishing the Brain Mind Bulletin. In 75, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi claimed that he would inaugurate the Age of Enlightenment. Several messiahs were to come out of the New Age movement. Of course, Matthew 24 talks about that in the last days. In 1929, Krishnamurti was supposed to be the New Age Messiah, but he never made it. In the 30s, Adolf Hitler declared himself to usher in the New Age. Hitler was a Catholic who got into the occult in a group called the Thule Society. The swastika is a Hindu symbol. How many did not know that? Okay? It's a very real Hindu symbol. Okay? In 61, David Spangler announced that in 1967 a New Age Christ would appear. In 82, Ben Cream, founder of the Terra Center, published a statement announcing that the Messiah was Lord Maitreya. In 75, the New Age plan was revealed. Okay? Some of the basic doctrinal beliefs. Okay, while the people in the New Age movement disagree over a lot of things, kind of like denominations, yet there are some definite points of consensus among them. Some of them are listed. Monism, all is one. Okay? This is a belief that there is only one ultimate substance or principle, whether mind, idealism, matter, materialism, or some third thing that is the basis of both. All reality is a cosmic or organic whole without independent parts. There is no such thing as good or evil, as in a dualistic principle, or that man has two natures, both physical and spiritual. No such thing. This monistic ultimate reality is neither dead matter or unconscious energy. It's being, it's awareness and bliss. It is as like the Hindu conception of God as an impersonal, indefinite consciousness and force. So again, there is one continuous reality. Perceived differences are only apparent, and everything is not real, so to speak. So again, it's that Hindu mind thing, stepping out of your mind, and then pantheism, which is part of Hinduism too, the concept that all that is God. Because man is a part of all that is, he also is divine, so therefore man is God. All New Agers believe that all is one. Everything that exists consists of one and the same essence or reality. Hindu pantheism, there is one divine essence. God is a force, not an individual God, etc., etc. And then, of course, third, humanity is God. There is no God but humanity. That's a Hindu teaching. Remember, Atman is Brahman. We are gods. We just haven't reached that level yet. Next page. This is something you'll hear a lot of. Your altered state of consciousness. That's what will happen to me after I'm done teaching this class. Tonight, I'll have an altered state of consciousness. Okay, it's called sleep. Yeah. Mystical consciousness altering experience that are viewed as doorways to personal transformation. A lifelong growth process marked by increasing wholeness and personal power. It includes, quote unquote, channeling. What is channeling? Anybody know? When you take your remote from your wife, no, that's not channeling. Spirits talking through you or to you, John? Yep, okay. Meditation, a.k.a. centering, automatism, sensory deprivation, chanting, relaxation exercises like therapeutic body work, mood music with relaxation, exercises or yoga help to start you down the path to an altered state of consciousness. Experience and intuition are final authorities and serve as subjective proof to the reality of the new revelations that are encountered. One cannot have objectivity if one believes he's in a universe where nothing ultimately exists but one solitary self or subject, and he is a part of it. So in other words, you have to alter your consciousness. And of course, you can read the rest of that. Syncretism. Again, they're bringing all religions into one, except they can't bring in biblical Christianity because there's only one true God and they don't believe that. So So, but everybody else, they try to join together. Cosmic evolutionary optimism. We are all gods in disguise. Barbara Marx Hubbard was one of the people proposed as a 1988 vice presidential candidate, and she was involved in the New Age movement. They changed the name of Satan and Lucifer to something more acceptable. Sanat Kumara, the solar logos, the teaching about him are combination of spiritism and ancient Babylonian religion. New Age doctrine is Babylonian religion rehashed. Their God is the God of forces, mentioned in Daniel. Satan came to the earth after his fall from Venus, according to the New Age. Then, of course, Hindu concepts of karma and reincarnation. Again, we've talked about that. Evolution involves the progressive development of the earth to its present state with the best yet to come. They have abandoned the original Darwinian theory for a neo-Darwinianism, a new Darwinianism, and punctuated equilibrium. It's a new paradigm word, okay? Spiritualized doctrine of evolution. The personal transformation leads to a planetary transformation and the new age. Values clarification. Where have you heard that before? Hear that a lot. Okay, a lot of people use it. A lot of companies are using values clarification. Teachers are using values clarification in education. Based on the assumption of each person having a higher self, this concept holds that the values emerge from within and therefore should not be imposed from without. It is a teaching method designed to help students discover and clarify their own values. It is widely used in public education under the rationale that it is an appropriate approach to values in a pluralistic society because it does not seek to impose any particular value system on the children. Hence, you can take the students to the silence movement. I know that in Spencerport they're going to do this. They're going to transport the kids who want to be involved in the Day of Silence to recognize homosexuality, and they're going to drive them down to a rally downtown. Okay, and many of the schools are involved in that because, after all, we don't want to get involved in hurting anybody else's way or belief system.
Just don't let them pray.
Yeah, and don't let them come to a rally at First Bible Baptist Church because, after all, now we got religion involved in state separation of church and state. In this, in values clarification, there are no absolute truth as values are to be subjectively determined.
Are you absolutely sure?
Huh?
Are you absolutely
no.
Sure?
So in other words, you can't question my values, I can't question your values, because they're each made up and determined by ourselves, and so therefore whatever we believe is right and true, so therefore you can't tell me what you believe, because what you believe doesn't fit what I believe, and so therefore we are all gods and we do whatever we want to do.
So I can take your car.
Right, so you can take my car. If that's part of your values clarification, then I can't be upset about that.
And I can shoot you for taking
exactly. Yes, you can.
If he's hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. Say that again.
I said you can give whatever answers you want on the SAT because they're all correct.
Yeah, right. But they'll still fail you.
How does that work?
Yeah, because you have to put out their values. All right. Let's get into a couple differences between the New Age movement and biblical Christianity. Okay? Spiritual and personal growth, biblical perspective. Spiritual and personal growth is based on increased dependence on Christ, conforming to His will as revealed in the Word of God. The non-perspective is spiritual and personal growth is a transformation from being dependent to one who knows and feels that he or she is in charge of his or her own life. You're your own God. So secular humanism goes very well in the New Age movement because you are your own God. You make up the rules as you go. Whatever feels good to you, you do, and no one can tell you what's right. Like, you'll constantly hear this when you're witnessing to someone who is involved in this kind of stuff. They'll say, well, that's what you believe. Well, that's what you believe. That's not what I believe. Okay? No, that's not what I believe. That's what the Bible teaches. Yeah, but that's what you say it teaches. You see what I mean? They'll constantly go round and round with you about that, because again, they have been taught that what they believe or what they think it says is right because they're their own God. Okay? Values clarification. A lot of Kodak was teaching this years ago. Okay? They were bringing people in for seminars on values clarification, and you know, you can't attack another individual who believes differently than you do, and you all have to get along, and et cetera, et cetera. And look at where Kodak is today. Okay. Distinguished being in China.
Yeah. Pastor Mike.
Yes.
When you said that, I thought of my dad was, well, at the time it was still Kodak, he was working there, and he was there when they were doing these seminars, and there was this lady that was teaching this. And so he, you know, there was a question and answer time, and he raised his hand, and he's like, "Excuse me, ma'am, are you absolutely sure what you're teaching us is right?" And she just stared at him, because she couldn't say yes.
Right.
Because if she did, then she would just completely disclaim whatever she just
right.
said.
Right.
But then if she said no, then he could say, "Well, then I don't have to listen to you."
Right.
So it was hilarious.
She had her in a box, like, and she couldn't move.
Any more questions?
Exactly.
Like, are you kidding me?
It's true. Distinction between creator and creation. Biblical perspective, distinction between creator and the creation is absolute and permanent, and the limited creature must always depend on and obey the all-sufficient sovereign creator. There must be an increased independence on the human level, but our relationship with God operates on an increased dependence on God. NAM perspective, distinction between creator and creation is illusionary. One must control one's own life. One must take responsibility and be accountable in terms of self. We have power to create our own reality, but it will be done for us unless we take responsibility for whatever happens to us. Often human potential seminar graduates even blame cancer and rape on the people who suffer from them. Unlimited human potential and the shaping of our own future, both individually and collectively. So again, you're your own creator and your own creation, and you're, what you have is because of you. Okay? And of course, Jesus Christ, down number 5. Jesus was a great man and God, but no more so than the rest of us. He only realized his Christ potential to a higher level than most after purging himself of bad karma through many incarnations, and is now only one of several masters who serve humanity from a higher, albeit not the highest, plane. Biblical perspective, people are being led away from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ to another Jesus. Okay? And it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Okay, some of the terms I just want to briefly go through and show you. The Age of Aquarius. Okay? It's a time deemed imminent by New Age movement where mankind and the world mind will enter a more enlightened astrological age of advanced spiritual consciousness. For some New Agers, it's still more than a convenient symbol for the anticipated order, but for others, a firmly held religious belief. Its basis is not upon biblical prophecy, but on astrology. Okay? Altered state of consciousness, we saw that. I'm trying to... Centering, number 7. A term used instead of meditation when the latter is considered an unacceptable concept for teaching in the public schools. So you can't teach transcendental meditation because it's religion. When resistance to meditation is encountered, the pushers of New Age methodology will switch terms to get the same ends. These techniques include yoga, guided imagery, chanting, mandalas, which are visual symbols used as aids to meditation, fantasy role-playing games, Dungeons and Dragons, things like that. Okay, many have been led by these to encounter spirit guides, called wise ones, through these different techniques. Channeling, a word to describe spiritistic communication in various forms. The idea is to communicate with beings in distant dimensions. This is a practice common in pagan religions of the past and distinct from biblical prophecy and inspiration. Its modern influence began with the work of a medium, Jane Roberts, and her entity called Seth. Seth has been trailed by thousands of new entities. The most well-known are Ramtha, channeled by J.Z. Knight, and Lazarus, channeled by Jacques Purcell. The influence of actress Shirley MacLaine has given it a lot of press. And, of course, there's other kinds of names for it, clutterant, light trance, full trance, etc., etc. Chanting, we already talked about what that is. Crystals, 12. New Agers place a lot of stock in vibrations. I went to Arizona to some guy gave me a timeshare there. And so I went to Sedona, Arizona, very beautiful place, has all these kind of red rocks. And we took a pink Jeep tour, okay? And I was really hesitant to go on a pink Jeep, but it was really cool tour. We got to this place, and he goes, there are several places in this area where the source of, what's the word they call it? They call it a source, where there's a spot in the earth where the energy just comes to this place.
And it's like
vortex, that's what they called it.
And they can't use the plural vortices, they have to say vortexes.
Right.
Vortices, it doesn't bother him.
And, yeah, it wouldn't bother him big time, okay? And again, it's where a place where spiritual energy comes to the earth and the vortex. And it's like, can we please leave? I don't want to hit him while I'm here, okay? Crystals. New Agers place a lot of stock in vibrations. Everything is in the spiritual realm is supposed to operate according to exact scientific law. So spiritual energy or healing energy is thought to transmit a definite, very high vibration level or frequency. Aware that crystals serve as good energy transmitters in electronics, like watches, radios, computer chips, lasers, New Agers assume that they must be good for transmitting and amplifying other kinds of frequency as well. They can attract desirable forces, repel undesirable forces, help in weight loss, confidence. They can also absorb, stimulate, amplify, and focus every spiritual and healing force. A New Ager form of good luck charm with a pseudoscientific backing. So you see people hanging crystals from their mirrors in their car? Okay? You're driving along, all of a sudden the sparkly light is catching your eye, you know? It's blinding you, right. It's because of crystals, okay? And of course, there's all kinds of all these other things here. Harmonic Convergence 29. Harmonic Convergence, a gathering in August of 87 of thousands of chanting and meditating New Agers to sacred sites around the world to prevent global disaster and bring in the New Age. So again, there's karma, there's light, trance, channeling, there's pantheism involved. Again, it's all kinds of different things all gathered together into one. It's a cataclysmic of all these mind things of Hinduism, Buddhism, and all those other spiritism bringing together into one thing called the New Age movement. And the rest, you can read about that, okay? But it's a hard thing to put your finger on because it's so open and wide open. Go ahead.
There's a couple of books that are upheld in this community. Houston Smith's World Religions.
Okay.
He was a man that went around different religions, but he claims to be an expert on all, and he takes the premise that God is like a house and you can enter into the house from many windows. So he accepts all religions, and he teaches that they're all okay, and they basically have the same understanding. So that one is upheld a lot. And then Celestine Prophecy, that's a huge one. But it really comes back down to that we have that divine nature inside of us, and that we just haven't tapped into that divine nature yet.
You are your own God, yes.
Right.
Yep, it's true. Go ahead. That's all part of this whole thing. Okay, reflexology and all those things. Right. Like the iris is part of, you know, you can find out what's wrong with your body through looking. And some of that has a partial truth. But again, they get into other spiritism things with kind of those kind of things too. So you got to be careful of that.
So some of it, I mean, it's, you know, like
I know you can get rid of a headache by grabbing right here and pressing. But that's part of how your body is made.
Mm-hmm.
Like my chiropractor for a long time, I thought he was a demonic, okay? Because he would ask me to hold my hand out like this and he would ask me to resist him. And then when he put his finger on the point that was out of joint, I couldn't resist him anymore. And then he did it to my son, who was laying on the table at a year and a half, 2 years old, and he would hold my hand and say, resist me, and then he would touch my son's neck, and where the vertebrae was out, my arm would go down. And it's like, because there's a magnetic force around your body, and it tells when it's out of joint, it interrupts the magnetism of the electricity of your body. But there was nothing demonic or demon about it, it's just there's a magnetic force and electrical force around your body. Go ahead.
My wife,
she's a chiropractor.
She does this. So she'll check Lincoln or Liam, our sons, and say, like, they have gastrointestinal issues or whatever, and she'll say, like, milk, corn, beef, pasta, or whatever, and it breaks. And, she doesn't feed them that because it's hurting their gut.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, most of the time.
And she's saved and not into a new age, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it does. Okay. So, Matt?
Many new agers will also use 1 John 4, verse 7, and it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. So they'll take that one part that everyone that is loving must be of God.
Right.
And they'll use that.
Good. Someone else, John?
Just something that I also noticed with these guys, with Ken Blanchard and affiliates like Rick Warren and Phil Hybels, they're big-time Christian leaders in today's, modern church, and they're pretty much trying to convince all Christians that we need to, rush forward into this inner faith type of structure, and what it's really going to wind up doing is pushing the cross out and the need for the gospel of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Warren and Bill Hybels distinctly make it clear when you study them that they're part of the contemplative emerging church. So they want all churches to emerge.
Come together.
And on page 89 of Purpose Driven Life, Rick Warren promotes breath prayer, where you repeat the same sentence to Jesus Christ, and you take a deep breath, and then continually repeat that, and then just keep doing it over and over and over. So, you can read it.
Mm-hmm.
I have this quote. I got a bunch of stuff on those guys.
And again, you just get sucked into it. It's really easy to do. You just blend yourself into it, and it just become part of the whole, so to speak. And again, we have to be wary. That's why I hate other new translations of the Bible that are taking away the authority of the Word of God, and it just is destroying Christianity. Someone quoted some verse today. It's like, if that was supposed to be easier to understand, I didn't understand what it said one bit. But again, that's part of this. And you got to water it down, and pretty soon all truth is relative, so to speak. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. We've had enough. So I can go to my cosmic state of consciousness. Yeah, exactly. I'll be channeling in a couple minutes. 21, 20, 19. Father, thank you tonight for Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful that this is so simple, what we have, because you've made it so simple for us. All we have to do is read and believe and trust your word. And Lord, it's not our word, it's your word. And Father, help us to be able to be armed and be aware that all around us, the truth is falling, and we need to be the ones who know the truth to be able to stand for it, teach it, and help others, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity we have to expose these false cults and the false religions, so that we might, not in arrogancy, Father, think that we are the only ones. That's not it. But Father, anyone who believes your word and trusts in you as personal Savior, that's what it's all about. And we're thankful for the truth of your word, thankful for the authority of your word, and thank you for the salvation of thousands and millions of people who have come to know you as Savior. Lord, dismiss us now. Give us traveling mercies tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Good night and God bless.